Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Carol on Tuesday. It's a new show on Netflix. It's like a music show. But anyways, Carol and Tuesday are complete polar opposites, and yet they meet up in the city and they become like this like fucking musical duo. One plays guitar and sings and the other plays piano and like produces. So it's very cute. It's fucking adorable. I ship them. They belong together.
And it's an anime, right?
It's an anime. It's the same dude who made Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo. So it's fucking extremely well made.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? What's goody? Welcome to Dallas. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's super freaking hot and I'm sweating and...
And we just turned off the AC, so it's finna get a lot hotter in this bitch.
Yeah.
Fuck. But it's all good.
Yeah, because audio, you know, sacrificing for the gods.
Yes, and sweating to the gods much later. I'm fucking wearing my CYC shirt right now. What's up?
I'm wearing my Fabi Fab wannabe shirt that I stole from him yesterday.
Nice.
So... podcast swag all around, I guess, but I'm excited to have money to be able to afford some merch. That's dope. The link is in our Instagram bio and probably somewhere on our Twitter if you guys want to purchase it, but there's a bunch of really cool options if you haven't already gotten your merch.
Yeah, you can be Concha Gang or Cafecito Gang. It honestly doesn't matter. Just support two brown queer bitches doing some shit, and we'll super fucking appreciate it later on. So thank y'all
for sure. Oh my god, so what's so much. Been going on?
So much has fucking happened. You're in Dallas.
For like one more day, but yeah.
Yeah, she's doing it a la Cynthia, where you go for fucking somewhere for like 3 days, and then you bounce.
Yeah.
Immediately.
But it's worth it, because there's some special stuff coming, so.
Yeah. Some interesting part twos coming. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. So, the world is falling apart. Just a reminder to not embrace that shit. But I do want to shout out everybody that's going to be affected by Hurricane Dorian. Or if you know anyone that's affected by Hurricane Dorian, be safe. Please find somewhere safe to be. And if you don't, figure that, like, let us know. We'll try to help y'all figure that shit out. It's super dangerous out here. Global warming is fucking real. But we care about y'all. We love y'all. Hope you're all safe. And we're thinking of y'all.
Yeah, we'll be trying to post links on places that we can help from afar. So keep an eye out for that on CYC Podcast on our social media.
And shout out to all our little hot girls that had to cancel their summer and do a hot girl semester. Shout out to y'all going back to school. We see you. Fucking kick ass. Remember, you're not the only brown or POC folk in your fucking area. Just fucking keep going. We love y'all. Keep doing the best that you can. And we see you, hot girl semesters. Like, let's get it.
So today is a special day to me. It's Labor Day, but that doesn't really mean anything to me because I don't work. but it's also the Are You the One returns, like, second to last episode of the season, which I'm really happy about.
It's a super dramatic episode this season, like this episode coming up, even though you already know what happens.
Yeah.
They left it on a cliffhanger that I didn't know was going to happen.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's just like math that you can do and you'll figure out, but by the time that this episode comes out, you guys will also know what happens if you watch Are You the One. But I'm excited to see what kind of craziness ensues, because I have my theories, and I made a fantasy coupling list for them, and like I've gotten a lot of them right so far.
I got Jonathan and Bissette right.
Yeah, I think most. Yeah, that one was a easy peasy one. And there is one that tonight I think is not going to happen that I got wrong. So I was like, fuck me. But, oh well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm honestly, y'all can hate me if you want. And if they do end up being a perfect match, which the numbers say something different, I low-key don't want Max and Justin to be a match.
Oh, well, it's your lucky day.
We'll see. Y'all already know this, so we'll see where that goes. And also, Steven Universe, the fucking movie came out, you guys. We haven't seen it yet. We're recording on this lovely Labor Day, even though it's Thursday for y'all. So don't, no spoilers, y'all. Don't tell me what happens.
I'm not even, I don't think I'm caught up, but I saw like a picture of Steven being a little taller.
He has a neck.
I was like, oh my god.
They allowed Steven to grow. I'm really into that. Like, he's gonna kind of hit puberty for once. Because, you know, gems don't age the same way. That's why he's been that same height forever.
Yeah. So that was exciting. I had a very nervous moment this past week.
What happened?
I went to WeHo on a Wednesday, which lesbians in LA know to be ladies' night in West Hollywood. So I'm just sitting there hanging out with my friends. We got done filming the Fortnite with Corey, who you'll hear from.
Shout out, Corey.
In a few weeks. And so we decided to go out and celebrate with some of the actresses. And we show up at Chapel, which, like I said, you Los Angeles gays know what that is. And we see, well, all of a sudden...
Y'all went to church? Mm-hmm. Y'all went to the chapel?
We went to gay church. And which is right by the Abbey. Like, everybody knows what the Abbey is. So one of the actresses, her name is Allie, and you'll get to know her from the Fortnite if you watch that web series. She turns to me and she's like, hey, somebody walked in. Yeah, you might not know who she is, but she's this chick who's on this show. She's a part of this ship called Juliantina. And I was like,
bitch.
I deadass froze in my tracks. And I was like, fuck off. No, she's fucking not. And I turn around and I see this YouTuber chick. She goes by, like, Now This Is Living. I forget her name. But she's super popular. She's, like, a super popular lesbian YouTuber. And then next to her is Macarena. And I'm like, oh, my fucking God. I'm a fucking die. And yeah, like, it took me a few minutes, but I worked up the courage and I walked up to her and I'm like, yo, I'm a big fan. And I'm talking to her in Spanish because she speaks Spanish, and we're like chatting about like the fact that it's super cool that she's at the fucking gay clubs, you know, in West Hollywood, where like it's lesbian night. Like, what? How many actresses go out and like purposely go into like an area that you know that your fandom is going to be there? But it was super cool. She was really small in real life. I feel like she gives off the vibe of being like really tall in the show, but she's like tiny.
Really? How tall is she?
She's not much taller than me at all.
What?
I think she might even be my height, and just the shoes she was wearing made her seem taller.
She's short?
She was...
Well, not short. She's like regular height.
Yeah, she's like regular height, and like she's just super small, like thin, you know?
That makes someone look taller.
Yeah. So but she was really sweet. And not weirded out by me, which is cool. But that was just a kind of a mind-blowing moment.
That's fucking crazy. Like, did she say anything other than she was super nice?
She was just super nice. She was just like... I forget, because I was kind of drunk. But I just remember, like, she was super cool. That's pretty much it. And she was just kind of hanging out and, like, talking to all these random, like, lesbians.
So, icon.
Yeah.
She's amongst her... fan base. I don't that's all I know about her. I don't know about her life like that, but I do know she was in WAIF, and there was a lot of hella gay things there, so I'm just gonna let it be.
Yep. So I'm excited that's about crazy. The things we're gonna talk about today.
Yeah. Before we get into that, shit, this weekend has been interesting that you've been here in Texas. I do want to just like hype up Empress Of for a second. Because that show, we went to the SOS Texas, I believe. I think it was called SOS this weekend, this Friday. And shout out to the Coco, we got in. Got to see Empress Of live. And let me fucking tell you, I've never seen so many, like, fucking brown or just, like, Latinx folk in their, like, element and having fucking fun and feeling safe. And I think that's pretty fucking revolutionary. Even... now, even in Texas, it feels really fucking dope, and it was such a good vibe, and Empress Of is amazing live. Like, I heard Just the Same, I heard Woman Is a Word, I Lost My Shit. It was amazing and incredible, and 5 bandulces to her. I was in love.
Yeah, for sure. I was super bummed that I missed Luna Luna, who opened the show, but I had a good time just hanging out with the peeps. A bunch of podcasters were there, and it was a good time.
Yes. But yeah, today we're going to be talking about some interesting things. I don't know what you're going to talk about, so this is a genuine surprise for me.
Yeah.
but we're going to talk about one of my favorite rom-coms. I'm for sure talking about this. Mytha's favorite rom-com from back in 2008, 2007-ish was, I can't, what was it, yours?
2006
is Imagine Me and You. And mine was the diversified version, is I Can't Think Straight. And it came out in 2008, and that's just my shit. What are you going to be talking about today?
I'm going to leave it a surprise, but go ahead. Let's talk about I Can't Think Straight.
All right. Okay. All right. Tune the horn. Okay. So I love I Can't Think Straight. It came out in 2008. If you know anything about like rom-coms back then and just like production value, this was going to be kind of at the same level as Imagine Me and You. No, it does not have Lena Headey in it. No. No, production value was there, though. Loved this fucking movie. It was actually written and directed by the same person, Shamin Sharif. She's the writer and director. She also wrote a book about this. It's called Despite the Falling Snow. And then she's an actual author that became a director, a filmmaker. So shout out to her for being a queer woman, making queer things, making queer art, being part of the community. And we should shout her out.
I truly wish she had more work. Because, like, I looked up her IMDb and did a little bit of, you know, looking into it. And I was like, fuck, like, she hasn't done enough stuff. I hate it when I see that on people's profiles. Because, okay, I Can't Think Straight is, like, I know you like to bash when Imagine Me and You. But I love I Can't Think Straight. I think it's an amazing movie, so.
It's a beautiful movie. Imagine Me and You, it's just I was feeling petty at the moment.
You're still feeling petty. You're still talking down on it.
It's just not my favorite of all time, but it's not even one of the first I've ever seen. I think I saw I Can't Think Straight before Imagine Me and You, so I thought they came at different times. But either way, I Can't Think Straight is amazing. It stars two amazing fucking actresses. It's going to be Lisa Ray, who plays Tala, and Sheetal Sheth, who plays Layla. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly. I apologize. I've tried listening to your name like 5 times and I fucked up all time, so my apologies. I feel that. I failed as a brown person with a Spanish name.
I think they forgive you.
Okay. All right. Just making sure, okay? Because I feel bad. And an interesting thing about I Can't Think Straight is that they are also both Lisa Ray and Sheetal Sheth were also in a different movie called The World Unseen, which was also written and directed by Shamin Sharif. So what happened is that I Can't Think Straight was actually made before The World Unseen, stars the same actresses, a different complete story. What happened is, and a funny thing I found about I Can't Think Straight is that their financier kind of pulled out kind of towards the end of I Can't Think Straight, and they lost all their fucking funding. And
which, like, distribution,
that's insane, dude.
That's the most, like, that's so expensive,
so fucking crucial. It's so expensive.
You guys are gonna hear a little bit of noise because I'm gonna ask Abel to get me a beer right now.
Yeah, so The World Unseen came out before I Can't Think Straight, so there's kind of like this mix-up of which one came first, which was her first film. And I Can't Think Straight was actually her first film, and to me, one of my favorite rom-coms of literal all time. It's it's an interesting film because it's not just discussing queerdom. It's discussing being queer, being Middle Eastern, being queer, and being Muslim. And I feel like I had never seen those things really actually explored up until this fucking movie. And it's so long ago. It's 2008. We're already discussing religion. We're already discussing different regions of the world. Like, Lisa Ray's character, Tala, is Jordanese, living in London. Layla's family comes from India, but they're Muslim. And I think that's really fucking dope that they're having these open conversations where they're discussing religion as a whole, religion in the region, and religion, what that means now that they're living in London, and how maybe because they're living in London, they're breaking away from their traditional views of being Muslim, traditional views of being Christian in Jordan, which I think that's fucking amazing that we got to see that kind of like, what? That actual distinction that you can be Jordanese and you can be Christian, you can be an Arab Christian, like that's a real thing and it exists. And I feel like in the United States, we hadn't been able to actually see that kind of like true diversity and what that means. Not all brown people are the same. Not all brown people come from the same region or speak the same language or have the same traditions. So I really fuck with this movie. I Can't Think Straight. And not to mention, this is like a little aside, something I noticed rewatching it in 2019 is that the amount of privilege that both of these fucking characters hold, but very specifically Tala's character holds, like, she's white passing, she fucking plays polo, she does, like, plays tennis, and she's part of this extremely wealthy family where their only interest is making sure that you stay within conservative values that they deemed worthy, like being married, being married to a Christian Arab, or being married to the correct person from the right family. Doesn't matter if they're pieces of shit. And another fun thing about Tala's character and her privilege is that she's been engaged 4 times and broken off 4 engagements. Like... what the fuck, this bitch, if she didn't know she was gay, I was like, why is she going to all this trouble? But anyways, that's a lot of privilege to have 4 fucking engagement parties, and the movie opens up into an engagement party. So what you're seeing is the 4th time this chick is trying to get married to a dude, and that's just not fucking working for her. I don't know why she thought she could marry this dude this 4th time though.
Oh my god,
do you remember this movie?
It's been, you know, it's been probably maybe like a year since I've seen it. That's not that long. But I just, what I, fucking shit, like, what I remember is, like, didn't she kind of, like, keep it from her that she was with a dude? Or am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. There was, like, she didn't quite mention she had a fiancé, so maybe she was already, like, hanging out with, like, Layla. But Layla was actively in a relationship with Tala's best friend. So Tala's best friend is a dude named Ali. Ali is dating Layla at the beginning of this film, and that's how they meet.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like, hey, this is my best friend Tala, and she's like, what up girl, you fine? And Tala this whole movie was just like looking at Layla like she was like
the sun shines out of her ass,
like she was ready to just be in it, right? So I thought it was fucking amazing and adorable because these two characters have so much fucking chemistry. These two, like, actresses just know what the fuck they're doing, and they just go all in to 2008 being gay as fuck. So, I stan. What?
Tell me, I'm trying to, like, I guess I'm, like, going back in my mind to mm-hmm. this movie while you're talking about it, mm-hmm. and, like, tell me a bit about, like, the relationships with their parents. I remember distinctly, like, one of them, they had, like, a kind of a funny relationship with their parents, and her coming out moment is like fucking hilarious.
Well, for Layla, when she came out, I don't know if it was funny, it was kind of dramatic. It was funny between her sister. So her sister took one look at her and was like, you've been hanging out with this chick a lot. And then all you see is the camera pan to like Katie Lang, fucking Fingersmith. She has like a Fingersmith book. She has a Katie Lang album. I was like, all she needed was a giant Ellen DeGeneres poster in her like fucking wall. And it's like, you're screaming that you're a queer woman. Like, you're into woman and women, and she doesn't even know it. I think that's one of the best parts of the film, is that like she doesn't know she's gay, but she just wants to hang out with this chick all the time. But Tala, when she came out, it was actually kind of dramatic. Like, I think her mom had already known that she was interested in women, and her mom was trying to, like, maybe she was in denial, counteract it. Like, at one point, her mom sees Tala and Layla, like, kissing. But
specifically with the dad.
Oh, the dad. Oh, the dad.
There's a moment with the dad where, like, they tell him, and then, like, his reaction, I remember, made me laugh.
I think he was super cool with it. Tala's dad, right?
Yeah, like he made a specific comment. I wish you could remember. I just remember thinking this dude is fucking funny.
I mean, he's lovely. I think he says something like, well, fuck that guy anyways. Like, they're all lame. Yeah,
something like that.
He's like, oh, at least you like women. Guys suck. Something like that.
Probably not that, but something like that. Something that was just like in general funny. I wish I could, maybe, I don't know if we could stop and watch the scene because it was good.
We can pause and watch the scene, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe Layla's dad goes, when she comes out to him, she says, I'm gay. And her dad literally turns to her and he's like, I've only been gone 2 hours.
That show was golden.
It was fucking golden.
That was so good.
Because he was like, is that something that can happen in 2 hours? Shout out to that gayness. It's only happened in 2 hours. It sometimes it'd be like that.
To me, like, it reminds me of the Vine where, like, the chick tells the little boy, she's like, I'm a lesbian. And he says, I thought you were American.
What's that other one? It was like, my sister told her someone that she was bisexual, and they're like, oh, you mean mediocre. Like,
is it? That's, what is that? I've never heard
it's
that.
A tweet. It was like, so now I think it's more true that I tell people I'm mediocre than I'm bisexual. And I was like, work, bitch, work.
Oh, jeez.
I live. But yeah, The movie itself is pretty cute. Honestly, the only thing you need in a rom-com is two bitches that have, like, really good chemistry and, like, a somewhat... a plot that you can follow. There's a lot of parts of this movie that are kind of cheesy, like, looking back. Like, in 2019, you're hearing the music and you're like, why? Why, oh, why this music taste? And then the whole idea that Layla is an author and she's writing this, because it's very semi-autobiographical about the writer-director, of course, right? So I'm kind of picking up on those clues, and I think that's kind of cute and adorable, but also kind of corny. Same thing, right? And I love this movie. I don't know what else I can say other than there's a lot of wealth being shown in this movie that I'm seeing now, and a lot of white passing Jordanian people who have a lot of anti-Semitic views, which I don't, you know, is it problematic? Is it being true to that writer's experience? I think she's more being true to that, her experience with her own family members. But I don't think it's a movie that we look back on and go, oh, well, you know, this cultural cue, that's, people aren't saying that anymore. But I think with respect to the realness of anti-Semitic feelings in Jordan, and even I think there's actually like a pro-Palestinian political viewpoint that I'm actually for in this movie. I think it's pretty dope, which is a rare thing to talk about in 2008, and even now to this day, to have a pro-Palestine view is to be evil, to be wild, and that's not true. Like,
no, Jesus, no.
Don't build walls around people. It doesn't matter who those people are. Like, that's bullshit. So I there was a lot of political conversations in this movie that I thought were worth mentioning, you know, pro-Palestinian, when Tala openly says that, you know, she's, I don't endorse any of these fucking religions. Like, I have faith and that's my business. But me being a Jordanian woman who lives in London, who knows she's queer at some point, spoiler alert, she already knew she was queer a little bit. There have really smart Muslim and really smart Middle Eastern women in this fucking movie. It's fucking dope to me, and I think we stand, and I give this movie 5 panluces. I love this movie so much. Do you remember loving this movie at all?
I do. I remember liking all the cheesy stuff that you were talking about.
The music?
No, fuck the music. I'm talking about them too.
Oh, no, they're not the cheesy part. The cheesy part was the music and, like, the dialogue sometimes when it wasn't between them. That's when it was cheesy.
I thought they were cheesy too, but I like that. I definitely remember liking it a lot. I get in these moods where all I want to do is watch movies about gay shit. So I always watch I Can't Think Straight, Saving Face, Imagine Me and You.
Saving Face is so good.
All the classics, maybe like Debs if I'm really feeling up for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm stoked on this movie. I say like half a cafecito, just because, like, you know,
it's aged.
It's, yeah, aged. It's just a little behind.
Yeah. The flip phones, the commentary, the random shots of a museum. I don't know why that was in there, but it's cool. I get it. Shout out to Lesbians in Museums. We stand. Do you remember that part? They went to a museum in Oxford, and I was like, okay, right on.
Yeah, like you said, there was a lot of wealth being displayed. I like the relationship with the one that we were talking about with the dad, because mm-hmm. it was like the parents had these high expectations of her, which I related to. So,
yeah, there's a lot of expectation. I think that's real within like people of color, immigrant communities. There's these expectations from the family saying, either you're going to marry someone that we told you should, you're going to fall in line and sell life insurance, just like Layla's father, and it sells itself. Don't forget, life insurance. Shout out to that. And then I think that's true to it. I think it's true to the immigrant experience, and I think we need more stories like this showcasing all types of fucking... You know, we contain multitudes, and there's so many multitudes in this fucking movie, and I love that. No one is who you think they would be, and I think that's lovely, and I stand them. They're really cute. Their scenes, I can't stand it. They have so much chemistry. I love them. I ship so hard.
Super quick. I don't know if you can sum it up, but super quick, I'd like to know, because I haven't seen this movie, why you don't like The World Unseen.
It's not that I don't like The World Unseen. It's just I couldn't get past... like the dialogue and the plot, you know? I was like, whoa, this is like really heavy, and I wanted something light. And it's really, there's a lot of like sexism and like violence against women, and I was just like, I can't do this because y'all were in I Can't Think Straight, and it was a lighthearted rom-com, and now it's heavy.
Oh, so I should give it a try. I thought it was actually bad.
No, it's not bad. It's just like, it's, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't really want violence happening to my babies like that. So, God, but it's, yeah, it's about South Africa and apartheid, which apparently Shamin Sharif's family had actually lived in South Africa and experienced apartheid, and that's why they left. So it's still really historical and part of her life. So very good.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
You should.
Sweet. Okay. Well, yeah. What is your rating for the movie?
I give it 5 pangutas. To this day, I love it. I stand.
To this day.
To this day. It's my Imagine Me and You. And it's not that I hate Imagine Me and You. I'm not in a petty space anymore. So I don't hate Imagine Me and You. On record, I don't hate it, you guys. I just prefer I Can't Think Straight because it's like not two white leads.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's move on. We're gonna flash forward. That movie came out in 2018?
2008, yeah.
What are you even talking about? So we're gonna flash forward 10 years.
Oh, shit, okay.
We're gonna flash forward 10 years in a world.
What the fuck?
Voice over. Post-raunchy comedies, post I Can't Think Straight and Imagine Me and You, and we're gonna go all the way to Blockers.
Oh shit, I love Blockers.
So in 2018, a movie called Blockers came out, and there was a rooster in front of the blockers, so it's meant to signify cock blockers. And
there's a picture of a cock in front of the blockers.
Exactly. Yeah. So the opening song in this movie is Good as Hell by Lizzo.
Can't go wrong.
It's like, do you need anything more? Anyways, they play more of her songs like later on too. So like, this was before, like, Lizzo just got big like late 2019 too, I would argue. And they were on it. They fucking knew. And like, Good as Hell is the perfect like teenage raunchy rom-com song, I feel. So that's, you know, if I haven't convinced you already, let me continue.
It's like a pre, what movie did we just see? It's a pre Booksmart kind of movie.
I feel like it's just kind of in the realm of Booksmart. It does very similar things. It came out on April 6th, 2018, and I've been in love with it ever since. I've seen it so many times. And the director, Kate Cannon, it was her directorial debut, just like Booksmart with Olivia Wilde. And she, in particular, is known for writing the Pitch Perfect movies. I've talked about Pitch Perfect originally being gay, which it wasn't. And she also wrote on 30 Rock, fucking comedic gold, and she wrote on New Girl, which was fine. And
which was fine. Fuck New Girl. No, I didn't watch it, and don't fuck New Girl. I don't know.
She's also set to direct the new Cinderella movie with Camila Cabello.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hold on. This is breaking news for me right now. What?
Really? The news came out a while back. Nobody cared about it.
Oh. Camila Cabello Cinderella?
Yeah, and some new like iteration of it. I think, considering our track record, Kate Cannon could put some gay shit in the Cinderella movie, which would be a first.
That would make it good.
And that would make it good. So, I don't know. Honestly, ever since 2018, I'm finding that like comedies written and directed by women, they're my fucking jam. Like, it's hard to be original because there's so much shit like already out there. But women are really pushing the envelope, I think, in directing these days. And that includes like this movie having fully developed girls who are queer or brown or empowered as the stars of those films. So Blockers actually gets compared to Superbad a lot, partly because they have a similar goal. They want to get laid and they want to do drugs. And I would say that
lifestyle
the,
goals.
Exactly. I would say that the real similarity between those two movies is like that they're about friendship quite a bit on the surface. And in this particular movie, there's three friends. They're all girls. They make a pact to lose their virginity on prom night. And their parents find out about it because technology, and they spend the majority of the night trying to cock block them, hence the name. Each of the parents, like, they have a different reason for going after their kids and trying to stop them. Julie, who in real life, she's Catherine Newton. She was on Big Little Lies. I don't know if you remember. She's like the daughter of Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah, that's her, the little white girl.
Yeah, white girl. She has like an overly attached mom. And her mom's like pissed off because she finds out that she's been lying about the college she wants to go to, and now this sex pact, which is kind of a big deal. So that's her story. So then there is Kayla, who's played by Geraldine Viswanathan. Viswanathan? I probably fucked that up. And her dad is John Cena. And so she's an athlete, and her dad kind of like sees her as a son, like her bro. So he realizes on prom day that she's like a whole ass young woman, and he forgets like how strong and self-sufficient she is because of the way that he's raised her, for one. And so he tries to stop her from doing what she wants to do, which is her lab partner Connor. So, and then just as a side note, Geraldine is going to be starring in a new film called Hala, about a Muslim teenager who's coming to terms with her sexuality. I thought that was going to be, like, I read the screenplay.
You did?
I did. And it's still a good movie. You guys should watch it. But I don't think it's going to be queer at all.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. I did my research. And then finally we have Sam, who is played by the adorable Gideon Adlon. And she's dating the very safe Chad, who is a Dorkosaurus.
Chad's fucking hats. Do you remember those things?
The fedoras?
He wore fedoras like they really were fucking cool. I love
it. Dude, yes. And so her dad isn't really worried about the sex pact. He tries to stop the other parents at first from going after them because he's convinced that she's not going to do anything with Chad. And he admits, he's like, it's because she's gay. Like, she's not going to do anything with him. And she hasn't come out to her friends, let alone her estranged father, but he's convinced. And I thought that was so rare in a movie, that a parent knows first. So that was interesting. Julie and Kayla, the first two, they don't really do a lot of growing or learning throughout the movie.
They're kind of already bad bitches, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Julie's just trying to, like, sleep with her, like, loving boyfriend, and Kayla's just wants to get fucked up and sleep Smash. With that random dude. Yeah. And that's not to say that they have uninteresting storylines. They're fucking funny, and they're really interesting.
They're fully fleshed and fully developed characters.
Yeah, the whole point is that they're responsible and smart girls who don't need to be rescued, which is, like, really refreshing. But Sam, who's also really smart, you know, she's confused. Like, her sexuality is confusing. So she gets, at first, really trashed on prom night, basically trying to work up the nerve to experiment with Chad. Like, she has two motivations. One is she wants to be a part of this pact with her friends so they have something to bond them after high school. And then two, she wants to figure the shit out because she's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on with me. And all the while, she, like, keeps running into Angelica, who is played by Ramona Young. I was super excited to see her in this because she also played a lesbian in this, like, short-lived show called The Real O'Neills. And in this particular role, she's, like, this majestic lesbian that, like, gives Sam advice and even, like, rescues her at one point.
And she, like, cosplaying.
Yeah. They're both nerds. They're both super nerds. And she's wearing a cape, and it's, like, a whole thing. And seeing Sam give her the googly eyes throughout this whole movie is amazing. Like, she looks at her like the sun shines out of her ass. And it's amazing. And she's also, like, Asian, so, like, that's representation there.
Something, right?
Yeah, it's something. Because it's a pretty white film. Not super white, though. Kayla is Indian.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And then, I don't know, a big thing that Blockers achieves is, like, taking down these, like, harmful notions about women's sexuality. It asks, like, literally in the dialogue, asks the questions, like, why is sex even bad? Like, why can't girls freely explore and experiment like boys do? And they also have a portrayal of this guy who's really open with his parents and, like, talks about sex with his parents and shit.
They were
like
smashing
that,
like, the whole movie, and, like, not just having, they were having, like, kinky ass sex. BDSM, like, blindfold, there's someone breaking into this house sex. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, there was
shout out to them.
Well, they didn't know that somebody was breaking into their house, but yeah.
Oh, I thought they were into it.
No. Anyways, yeah, so all the guys in this movie are pretty respectful of the girls' decisions. And that's a big important thing, is that everything that the girls are doing is their decision, which is really, really cool. The only people that aren't respecting their decision or them is their parents. And that's with the exception of, like, Kayla's mom, who's this, like, badass Indian woman that lectures the other parents on feminism. Meanwhile, they could give a fuck. They're being stupid and trying to get an address so that they can go after their kids. But I don't know. I'm not going to spoil much more of it because it's relatively new, and I think everybody should watch it. But each of the girls, they end up having like a really special moment of their own, and they're all pretty different at the end of it, and so are those moments, and they're important in their own ways, and I think it just stays really true to the places that those characters are in and the people that they are.
Tear. It was fucking beautiful. It was a fucking feminist fucking... It was amazing.
I watched this movie like on the plane at least twice, at home like twice. Damn. And I watched it in theater when it came out.
Okay.
And I watched it again today. And work? I'm still not tired of it.
It's a fucking funny movie. It's reversing every kind of fucking sexist notion we believed that was necessary in like comedy, because comedy in America is a male dominated fucking event. This like, it's rare and it's beautiful that woman is fucking directing and writing something very beautiful. Wait, the writer is also a woman?
No, the writer are like these two dudes who are brothers, dudes. I think. Oh, okay. They have the same last name. Either they're married to each other or they're brothers, but I think they're probably brothers.
Well, okay. Still very good writing.
The directing was amazing.
Directing was amazing.
So I'm good on that.
So we stand. What's your rating for it? What do you give it?
No Cafecitos. I love this movie. This is one of my... I named it my favorite movie of 2018.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Wait. No, you know what?
It's your top movie of some year.
It was like my second favorite. The only one that beat it out was probably like We the Animals.
Yeah.
That was my favorite movie.
Fucking good. Five bonuses for this movie. It's definitely amazing.
Acting is amazing. Writing is amazing. Directing is phenomenal. And it's just super empowering. The soundtrack is bomb as fuck because you hear Lizzo the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong. And this is not 2019. This is 2017?
2018.
So that means they made this shit in like 2017.
Yeah. So. Exactly.
Shout out to Lizzo. Shout out to this movie.
I'm down for that shit.
And yeah.
Well, since this is the first episode of the month, I was thinking we could give shout out to our Patreon supporters.
Hey.
One of which was here today.
Yeah, one is like dun. There. Hi. So yeah.
So if you're down, I'm down.
I'm down.
Okay.
So shout out to Patreon supporters. I want to give a shout out to Denzel. Love you fucking forever. Shout out to my baby. Hey baby, I love you. Hi. Shout out to Aaron. Shout out to Chrissy. I fucking see you with your animals. I'm so jealous. All your cats, your dogs, they're all amazing and beautiful. Rossi's like 5 feet away from you. From me. I love you. Hi, boo. Keep winning at Mario Kart. Fucking Jake is in Dallas right now with Fabi. Hope he comes because I love him. Shout out to Heather Freeman. I stan you. Thank you for supporting. Shout out to Vicky. What's good, homie? We out here like, you know, working through our generational trauma. Shout out to my brother Beto, our brother Beto. Shout out to Marimar. I see you with that fucking Concha Gang shirt. You repping us hard in South Texas. You're the shit. I stan you. And I'm also wearing the same exact shirt right now. Love you.
Un shout out para la amiga Marisa. And then also to Mireya, who's repping hard for Cafecito Gang. And I'm like stoked on that shit. Both of y'all and Alejandra are all in the Arco Iris Gang, which is fucking wild. And then, of course, we have Kristen, who is probably just a few months in, and Alicia, who's OG gang. She's in Australia, and she's been repping what since up, day one. We have Michelle. Thank you for sticking around another month. One of our favorites, Noelle.
Noelle, what's up, girl?
Thank you for supporting again. And same thing with Elena. Thank you for supporting again. Hope to see you soon around LA. And our latest and greatest, Laura, who is hasn't really introduced herself, but please do at some point.
Shout out, Laura. What's good?
All right, guys. Well, we gotta go. But thank you so much for listening, and have a good Thursday.
Bye.